Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. No one wants to be stereotyped, and yet writer and award-winning journalist Tate Walker says pop culture continues to appropriate Native American identities, often with disastrous connotations and consequences. Walker is editor of Native Peoples Magazine. She's a citizen of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. She joins us today from our studios in Rapid City. Tate Walker, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks so much. Appreciate being here.
And I'm not sure if you were listening to Representative Sean Bordeaux, but he was talking about racism as a leadership issue. I was wondering if you had any insight on leadership, not just from a government perspective, but from a cultural perspective.
Well, I think what Representative Bordeaux was saying is so important, and where it correlates with what I'm talking about regarding mass media pulp culture representation is, if that's all the general public has to go on regarding Native representation or entertainment-based stereotypes, whether we're talking sports mascots, political representatives saying things like people going off the reservation, movies like the upcoming flick The Darkness, you know, when those are all the general public has to go on, the issues that our leaders are talking about, people like Representative Sean Bordeaux, those issues like healthcare get swept under the rug. It's very easy to ignore those issues when all we have is, entertain me now.
Right. Tell me the first time that you remember as a little kid seeing some stereotype or representation that sort of shocked or surprised you. And having an awareness that it was ridiculous.
So I always go back to being politicized back in first grade when the epic film Dances with Wolves came out. We had just moved to Rapid City from Eagle Butte area, and that was sort of the everyone is Native piece. And so I remember having a name like Tate that always sort of triggered people's that's an Indian right there, or she's someone different, she's not normal. So all my classmates at Canyon Lake Elementary in Rapid City understood that I was Native. And so when Dances with Wolves came out, there was this rush of, Tate, I'm Indian too, because I know the word for buffalo is Tatanka, you know. And I just had this very awkward feeling, even as a first grader, of just, you're not Native? Yeah, just because you know that word doesn't mean, you know, and there was no way for me to really verbalize that. I had no idea.
How do you put that in context now as an adult who's done a lot of scholarly research and writing? How do you put that in context as an adult? What was happening with all those first graders wanting to say that they were like you?
Sure. It's Native erasure at its most basic form. When I think of my daughter, who's now 7 years old and in school, and when, things like Columbus Day roll around, or anything that happens with Native issues, Pocahontas, for instance, Halloween, she's being erased when they can dress up in costumes, when they can say, Columbus discovered America. Her entire culture, her entire history, all her ancestors, everything we've done up to this point as a people to survive is just gone.
Do you take any of it as innocent or as respectful, or is any representation when someone who is non-Native tries to sort of experience the culture, or is any of it with good intentions?
Good intentions, that's an interesting topic to go on its own, especially when those intentions, whether they're good or not, have negative consequences like stereotyping, which is just a happy way of saying racism. That doesn't matter if you were saying, I was doing it to honor you. Stop then, because it's not. please. Yeah. So, and that's a fine line to walk too, because as Native people representing just, less than 6 million folks in the country, we need allies. We need places like SDPB radio to give us voice to talk about our issues, because it's not happening in other places. So
tell me who's doing representation right, and give me some examples. Then we'll talk about some of the embarrassments in a few minutes. But let's talk about who's doing representation right.
Great question. And as I noted, your own organization is doing great stuff. Always appreciate it. And I have to plug my own organization as a.
Go ahead. It's all right.
So Native Peoples Magazine has been around since 1987. So we're coming up on 30 years here of just straight out Native everything. It did definitely start out with a white gaze in mind, meaning, you know, the art that goes on white people's walls, essentially. Mm. And but we've definitely had a turn in the last couple of years here, and I hope to say that I'm part of that, in which we're focusing more on issue-based projects now. You know, whether that's like Rolling Res Arts out of Pine Ridge, or you know, Violence Against Women's Act going into different tribal jurisdictions, healthcare, Native youth suicide. You know, those are all things that impact us in many variable ways. And so I'd like to say that we're doing that. We've got 300K plus social media followers, 30,000 subscribers worldwide. So it's hitting people in ways that I think are accessible. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of that. So other people, obviously, you know, Sherman Alexie is being criticized now for some of his new latest book. I think it's called Thunder Boy. Mm. He's also getting, you know, a representation out there into a general public hand. So I would say that he's doing representation right. Despite,
have you read it yet, Thunderboy?
I have, and I love it.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
The representations there are, I'm sorry, the criticism there are definitely warranted. But it's also one of those we celebrate our own type thing too.
You know, Sherman Alexie is just an interesting. When you say that, he comes out with so many different things.
For sure.
You know, the recent poetry controversy when he was the editor of the.
Right.
And I'm going to lose what it was called, but it's an anthology,
right,
of the best poetry of the year. And he's really not afraid to have the discussion.
That's, no.
I think, the main thing I think about Sherman Alexie. So how do we have, Tate Walker, I'm asking you, how do we have that discussion and be unafraid to sort of step in, you know, the bad places and talk about them and shine light on them? Or do we risk becoming too afraid to say, you know, even as white people, you know, you mentioned art that goes on white people's walls. So do white people need to be concerned about supporting Native artists by buying art? How do we have those conversations openly and in a productive way?
Such a great question, such a great issue that we're constantly striving to work towards. So when I talk about white people buying art to put on their walls, you know, again, not bad at all. I've actually interviewed several well-known and very wealthy art collectors, part of their point in talking with me is often, it's not just the art. We love supporting the people behind the art. We want to know the stories of where they got their art from. We want to know the history of who taught them. You know, they're making, they're putting effort behind their support. And I think that's a big difference when it's just, oh yeah, I love dressing up, you know, in a headdress for my sports team because it's honoring you. Okay, first of all, there's not honoring me. But second of all, tell me what you know about Native people then. What issues have you then supported that also honor us? You know, talk about, you know, do you know anything about the IHS healthcare issue going on in South Dakota? You don't? Well, that's a really big issue affecting lots and lots of people. So take some time, put some effort into your allyship, and that's when I'll start believing that you have your good intentions are in the right place.
Put some effort into your allyship.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. So tell me, some people, obviously the Native American headdresses at sports events is a what you would call a poor representation. Give me some other stereotypes that we see in media that we might not recognize if we're non-Native.
Oh man. Where do we begin? How much time we have? No, I'm kidding. Okay. So just recently, we've had several great examples. We've had top political candidates talking about folks going off the reservation. That's referencing Hillary Clinton, talking about Donald Trump. I will follow that up with major billion-dollar blockbuster movies having the exact same comment. Captain America Civil War had Iron Man saying that Captain America had gone off the reservation. And just using these two examples, first of all, to talk about when you...
Does that ruin the whole film for you?
It did.
When you're,
and it was
how much does that
movie.
Bother you at that moment? Okay.
You know, and so I mean, those are kind of the stressors that marginalized people are constantly fighting day in and day out. These little microaggressions is what we call them, yeah. Wherein it's not necessarily someone punching me, but it's a gut punch in a very mental and emotional way that definitely ruins something that's supposed to be entertainment for me, an escape. You know, when we read, you know, books that aren't, you know, that definitely have problematic issues in them. All these things for instance, off the reservation, they are high, racially charged in a way that is totally against natives. We're talking about concentration camps, essentially. When natives were going off the reservation, we got killed for that, you know, less than 100 years ago. And when we can joke about it or use it in a blasé way, again, that erasure happens and we're no longer seen as human beings worthy of, oh, I'm sorry, I need to consider you more, right? Put some care into my words, and we're not getting that.
Are microaggressions intentional?
Not often. I would say no. Most of the time, they're not. I think most people don't understand what's happening when they use a war hoop, you know, on a sports team, or when they're wearing that headdress they feel is, you know, beautiful, or when they're even just off the cuff saying things like off the reservation or let's powwow for this meeting. They don't understand again those little stressors that really break you down over the course of a lifetime.
Give me some solutions. I know you're teaching tonight at Racing Magpie, and part of what you're doing is a workshop on storytelling
with
different mediums, video, poetry, news writing, fiction, blogging. So let's talk a little bit about solutions and the different methods of storytelling that you're incorporating.
So one of the things I think that's happened in the last decade definitely is the upgrade that social media has given communities of color, marginalized communities, to really get their stories told and within our own voices. Social media, Twitter, for instance, is just a fantastic way to stay connected across the nation, really, across Turtle Island, with issues that are going on that we normally wouldn't hear about in media. Just looking at, for instance, Governor Dugard's comments in Rosebud a couple weeks ago. I live in Phoenix now, but hopped on Twitter, and that was what was being talked about within the Native Twitter community. And we had great conversations there, and I think had it not been for social media, I wouldn't even know about some of these. And so the storytelling aspect is use what's available to us, and use what you're comfortable with, too. I think reservations in general, Native communities in general, wherever that might be, often lack these resources to feel like they lack these resources to adequately tell their stories. You know, nobody remembers us here on the reservation. And that's definitely true. And so I'm trying to empower folks to use what's handy, whether that's their cell phones and they take a video of something they feel like is a injustice, or writing poetry that helps with mental health issues, whether that's just their own personal journal or something they want to publish. As somebody in media, I always feel like it's a responsibility for those of us who have these positions to again, empower folks. And so part of my storytelling workshop will be, if you are comfortable with publishing, I would love to publish what you have. We have, I'm hoping someone will be willing to submit a story, whether that's a journalism story or a short story or part of their fiction piece, or I want to see a podcast. Natives are using media in so many great ways now. And, sometimes it's hard to realize how to get that out.
We have just about a minute or two left, and I'm wondering if every representation of that needs to be issue related, or if you're also encouraging people to just write a love poem, or just write, what's the role of, art that doesn't necessarily have a thematic connection to Native American culture?
No, I definitely don't think it has to be issue related. It's what's in your life right now. That's your story. I want you to tell it. That's why I titled it Native Me in Media. It's important that we have our voices told, and whatever issue that might be for you, whether that's, my res dog won't eat the food I'm trying to give him, and he just keeps going that's just it. We have all these different stories, and they deserve to be told just as much as any other story.
Give us an idea of where we can find you on social media then.
I'm on Twitter at Mrs. T. Walker, appropriating some British slang there, M-I-S-S-U-S T. Walker. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me there. Check out nativepeoples.com. We're all over the place. I'm doing that that Snappy Chats thing. Just started with that. No idea what I'm doing. But you can follow me in a couple different places. Plus jtatewalker.com. That's my website, and you can always reach me there.
Tate Walker is also teaching tonight at Racing Magpie in Rapid City. That starts at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Tate Walker, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori. Appreciate you.